Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's excellent to be here. So, would you believe it's been 3 or 5 months since I saw many of you? So much has happened for us since we've moved to Christchurch. Obviously, we've gotten married as well. And it seems like so much time has passed since we were last here. But in any case, it is really nice to see all of you again. So Elizabeth and I, we bring with us many greetings from your brothers and sisters in all Christchurch ecclesias, which is wonderful. So this morning I've titled my thoughts as Using Our Time for Good. And I want to share a few thoughts on this about how we can maybe use our time wisely based on some of the words in 2 Thessalonians 3. And I'll read these out. So it appears in 2 Thessalonians 3 that Paul had a very direct message to share for a specific situation that the Thessalonians were facing. But it can serve as a useful reminder for us as well. So jumping into 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. In the name of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is living in idleness and not living according to the tradition which they receive from us. For you yourselves know what you must do to imitate us. We neither lived in idleness among you. We did not eat anyone's food without paying for it. Indeed, with toil and labor, we worked day and night in order not to be a burden to any of you. It is not as though we did not have the right, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. While we were with you, we gave this order. If anyone doesn't want to work, he shouldn't eat. We hear that some of you are living in idleness. You are not busy working, you are busy interfering with another's lives. We order and encourage such people by the Lord Jesus the Messiah to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers, do not get tired of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of him. Have nothing to do with him so that he may feel ashamed. Yet, don't treat him like an enemy, but warn him like a brother. So, there are many things, I think, in life that can draw us away from God. Many are active or physical things that distract us. For example, it could be possessions, passions, desires, and many other things, and people around us. But in 2 Thessalonians 3 here, Paul has highlighted something else entirely that I think is just as dangerous and often a lot less obvious. And that is, it's idleness. And I speak for myself when I say this, but I'm sure many of you will agree. It's when I have time on my hands that I tend to get up to mischief. Especially when life is comfortable and all of our needs are met. So how should we use this to spare time that we have in life? And verse 12 there gives us a bit of a hint. We order and encourage such people by the Lord Jesus the Messiah to do their work quietly and earn their own living. So here Paul recommends that if possible, we should fill our days with something. So if we're able to work, then we should cover our basic needs. Or for those that are retired maybe, and you've done your stretch of work, the same idea applies. To not fall into idleness, but to have a purpose in life in one form or another, and not sort of interfering with others, as we read in verse 11. So in 2 Thessalonians 3, it seems that the people, some were not working, and they were relying on others to provide, as per verse 10. But more than that, the idle people were using that time to interfere in the lives of others. Now, I don't know exactly what that entails, but I imagine it was bringing them down in some way, shape, or form. Now, does simply sitting around make us idle? Well, maybe, but maybe not. So I think it partly comes down to our intent and how we use that time. So if we're taking some time out to wind down and rest, or maybe work through some thoughts or meditate, or keep watch over someone, then we could consider that very good use of time. In fact, under the law, of course, we're commanded to observe the Sabbath day, the day of rest. But what about the other instances when we have time on our hands, idle time? Well, let's look at Scripture for a few examples of how we could spend that time in a beneficial way. There's so many different ideas we could draw on here, but one recurring theme I like is this idea of kindness to those that are struggling. For example, in Proverbs 19, verse 17, Whoever is kind to the poor is lending to the Lord. The benefit of his gift will return to him in abundance. And again in Proverbs 22, verse 9. Whoever is generous will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. So if we have idle time on our hands for whatever reason, and we're not using that time for good or for rest, then rather than letting idleness take over, we're guided to consider others and what we can do for them. Again, there's another example in Proverbs 11, verse 24, which reads much the same, but also has a warning. Those who give freely gain even more. Others hold back what they owe, becoming even poorer. So as we can see, holding back and being idle can cause us to shrink away and become spiritually poor. But on the other hand, giving, either physically or spiritually, can seriously build us up, as we read in Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A large quantity, pressed together, shaken down, and running over, will be put into your lap, because you will be evaluated by the same standard with which you evaluate others. So Paul, like Jesus, uses the idea of a sower in several different occasions to illustrate the point that we need to actively sow in the Spirit, and in doing so we benefit greatly, either directly or indirectly. One instance is in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Stop being deceived. God is not to be ridiculed. A person harvests whatever he plants. The person who sows through human means will harvest decay from human means. But the person who sows in the Spirit will have eternal life from the Spirit. So sow without moderation, especially to the family of faith, or those that are seeking God, as we read in verse 10 of Galatians 6. No, I don't think we've read that out, but the idea applies. Oh, here we are. And in doing so, we will have eternal life by God's grace. So another thought on sowing comes up in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And Paul says, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. And later on in verse 13, we read exactly why we're commanded this. Because your service and giving proves your love. You will be glorifying God as you obey what your confession of the Messiah's gospel demands, since you are generous in sharing with them and with everyone else. So this idea of sowing in the Spirit, it does a number of things. So firstly, it helps us to develop the character that God wants in us of imitating Christ. And in doing so, we're also spreading the message of the Messiah by our example and our action, or even through outright preaching where opportunity arises. So the key to many of these ideas that we've just looked at is that it needs to become an automatic instinct of ours to serve God and to give freely as we're able. And this typically only happens through repetition and the effort of thinking outside of ourselves and actively considering what our God and his Son Jesus want of us. So our Lord Jesus gives us a window into this thought in Matthew 25, where we have a prophecy of sorts about Jesus' return and judgment. And it's just where the sheep are separated from the goats, with one group who serves Jesus by helping others, and one group who is more inwards focused and didn't build up others. And we read in Matthew 25, verse 40, the king will answer them, I tell you with certainty, since you did it for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. So one way for us to do this is to transform our spare time, our idleness, and instead make it become a subconscious thing of doing what's right, even without realizing it. And then we want to keep at it daily to maintain our service to God of staying away from idleness and instead serving those around us, but especially to our brothers and sisters, our family of faith, as it says in Galatians 6, verse 10. So, does our God remember us for one or two great outstanding events we do? Or would he rather that our whole lives reflect Christ? Now, of course, doing great and outstanding events can be a marvellous thing, but ultimately, I believe that our purpose is to reflect Christ, isn't it? To transform both our hearts and our minds to follow him as best as we can. And when we often make mistakes. We need to pick ourselves up, don't we? And keep on trying our best to reflect Christ until it becomes, again, a subconscious thing. So God does remember us for the intent of our hearts and the love we show. Let's take Hebrews 6 verses 10 to 12 for example. For God is not so unjust as to forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister to them. But we want each of you to continue to be diligent to the very end in order to give full assurance to your hope. Then, instead of being lazy, you will imitate those who are inheriting the promises through faith and patience. So the key here is it's imitating Christ and other faithful brethren who have gone before us, who spent their lives seeking God. And in that process, they grew their faith. One thought I like to consider as often as possible is that God has given us everything. And he's done this knowing that there's no way we can ever pay that back. Our God gives his grace freely to us. And as such, it's our aim to show our thanks to God and to try where we can to pass that on to others. Again, especially our brethren in Christ. Now, unfortunately, I'd been a little bit sick last night to finish collecting my thoughts. So as a bit of a conclusion here, I want to just read through a few of the thoughts I use sort of going into this talk. So I think ultimately it's our attitude that matters most. We need to foster an attitude of service to God, which we can only achieve by putting it into practice, by serving others. And there's other things we can do, of course. But serving others in ways that we can, and by building up a character that benefits God and his purpose in the future. So there's always something we can do to further the gospel, whether it be that we're working on building ourselves up now so that we can be useful at another time in the future, either through personal development, whether it be taking in God's words, listening to a study, or reading a book of some sort. Or there's some more outward-focused things that we can do, things that directly encourage somebody else. For example, maybe we write a letter, an email, or a message. Something to encourage them. Maybe we make a phone call to someone that needs it. Not to offload our own worries onto them, but to listen and just take it in. Or there's more topical things, like finding an activity we can do to get involved in the brotherhood or our local ecclesias. Maybe we talk to someone who's a bit shy. Maybe we help out with something behind the scenes or turn up early. Or volunteer next time there's something to be done. And there's all sorts of different activities, aren't there? Be generous with your time and your possessions. Now, it's not to let people take advantage of us, of course, but money passes. What we want is we want to have character that's like Christ, and we want to be refined to be more like Christ. We want to serve God and follow Christ's example. We don't want to serve ourselves, do we? We do need to take care of others' needs. But what about the rest? We do need to take care of our needs, of course. But what about the rest of the time we have? Rather than being idle, let's use our time wisely and give our time and energy to God, because God gives his grace freely to us. So, until we see each other again next time, I encourage you all to keep using your time wisely, like you're doing this morning. We've come here to remember Christ as he commanded of us, and to keep walking toward Christ and becoming more like his character in our service to God and spreading the goodness to others all around us.